religion, teaching, philosophy, research, tracing, and so on. Now then, in 1969, he was initiated into the science of the soul of Jean-Marc Cousin, the master there being Master John Singh, who lived in northern Punjab in India. Jana founded All Faith Fellowship, which is in Tyler, Texas, in 1969. There, the fellowship has a house and a house. Each day, a four-unit apartment house. One apartment is a chapel. Another is a kitchen and dining area. Another apartment is our living quarters until we get our house built. And then the other apartment where the women stay. And then the garage is converted into the monk farm for the men. And the fellowship owns 92 acres of land, 5 miles up in the nature, and had a huge, beautiful land where we hope to develop retreat areas. The requirements at the fellowship, there are 6 vegetarians. The dairy products are allowed, but not even 8. The other part, with no drugs or alcohol. People must be married, and then they're living the right way, and with medication, the primary thing there is no drugs. And suggested on meditation all over the country and the colleges and the streets and stuff like that. That was the impetus of first thing you want to ask about my background and something like that before we get started. I'm supposed to hear I'm making it a comment. We had just moved into this apartment rather hurriedly. This is actually a tent, the one we were. Very small and basic. We've been testing them. Well, ever since I got this place in October of 72, I've been telling them I wanted a large apartment. And last Friday, I went over and said, I had it. Got to have a large apartment. And lo and behold, it burned and everything happened Sunday, and I had an apartment. I found a system like that. So, there are patients who wanted me to work on them from time to time here in Houston, plus I have children. Oldest and my youngest son for you. And then, John, of course, my friend here too. And we have an office in Tyler. And we have now begun to lay foundation.
Hello.
Oh,
hi, Carol.
Oh, my floor.
Probably. I don't know, maybe I'll open up the doors. You can't open those windows.
Here, just in the station.
some 30-odd people have bought land, two across from the retreat land where we plan to build and make their homes there. And this is, sorry about that. That's all that's me. I think you're going to have to ask if you folks kind of get a little bit closer.
Why don't you get them to get you a bigger apartment, Margaret?
I told a long time ago I want a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, you know. My name's supposedly on top of the list.
You do look like it. Yeah, I like the floor anyway.
What's the life of this? The Office for Life Stress Research is a part of the Lake Foundation. Later there will be Arts and Crafts. Those words, arts. Now we're again going on this. This is sort of a breakdown on some of the things that we do. A number of people here have taken the classes that we teach. We're hoping to get started between the reflex time. Also, so we can get our placement patterns built in the way that we want, because there's more work available here for training. Training Tyler. Tyler is approximately 65,000 population. It has a good diversified economy, manufacturing, farming, ranching, lumbering, soil, and things like that. So,
That's okay, I think it'll...
Just a minute. I tell you what. Please stand right here. I need two strong men that will do exactly what I tell them, and we'll get that table out of the way.
If everybody will stand up, we'll have a table out in the next room. I make you see for the door, and you'll open the door when I tell you.
Don't make me, oh, don't touch my table, please. Can I tell you?
Oh, there. You did that.
You should see, have you seen our new squirrel cage?
No.
Now it's 4 foot tall, chicken wire, 5 foot across.
In the park?
Yeah, and it takes up half of the bedroom. So we have a zoo now. They made a jailbreak today, so we have to sew the sheet onto the top of the cage now. They actually figured, we had it on with clothes, and I figured a way to push the sheet out. In fact, I came home from work, and I could not find the squirrels anywhere. I looked up and I looked down, and they weren't in the cage. They weren't out of the cage. And it turned out that they had gone on top of the sheet that was draped across there, and it was comfortable like a nest. So they just put it on the top of the sheet.
The other day, Carol and I was sitting there.
Bird?
Well, I had a new squirrel. I was going to get a ride.
May I add, I hope everyone parks over in front of the street and not down in the way so that they become bank.
We're going to raise these for the old enough to let go. But we acquire them because the nest fell out of the tree. So we're going to raise them.
now then we'll have to go through the choir because the outside noise is not as for anyone to hear.
Synchronization with light energy is important. So, the Bible, Book of Psalms, verse 1 and 2, give you exactly what you should do in meditation. It's the oldest book we have in this part of the world. There's the oldest information and method for meditation in that book. Very first two verses. It tells you you must meditate on the right law or technique and day and night. That means there's no time for it. So it's always now. You don't sit in a corner to do it. But if you do it, they say in the book, your whole life will be a manifestation of joy and abundance. So, it is a way of deactivating the brain. You can't speed up the brain to meditate. The brain itself naturally will generate heat by its own natural pulsation. And this is measurable. Yet at the same time, if you slow the brain down, that heat can be used now in a very fine way to affect matter. And cause matter to move. So we find that man is the only organism capable of triggering atomic energy by thinking. There is no other form of life that can do that. Actually, by deactivating the brain, triggering atomic energy in the environment to feel and cause it to move. At the same time, it carries a tremendous responsibility. What if profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Because man doesn't have a soul. Man is soul already. He doesn't have to save it. He has to realize it. And to realize it, he must let it be. That means he must synchronize with the environment by deactivating the brain to identify the light by pulsating to the brain, which makes up the body. When he does that, then he's a free soul. Not until that time, he's bound by radiation, bound by his environment, and bound by tradition, and feedback from the hereditary patterns of the brain. More so, during the present state of the mother, when she's carrying the child, the 9 months basic priority opening of the mother. That's the mode in which you're born. Everything that happens to you from then on is preempted by the feedback of the mother, who monitors your behavior pattern from the time you arrive to the time you die, if you are not psychological. This is what it meant. I did the things that are certain fourth generation. What is it? What's happening? Though we appear to be individuals moving along detached from our appearance as the umbilical cord, yet when we experience this magnetically and electrically, the appearance monitors our behavior, and we pride ourselves with our own ego that we are running our lives, which in reality we are not doing. We are not even capable of meditating to that type of connection, which is possible to meditate. We'll be fooling ourselves. The result of meditation is liberation, not from the environment, but for the environment. That's why you meditate. How to be liberated for it, so that you can live it and not learn from it. But until that time, you practice. So most of it will appear in books and groups talking about meditation, but never really get into the actual truth about meditation.
Physiologically, that is the freedom we are talking about.
Then you hear the Eastern people talk of meditation. They are not talking of freedom from anxiety. They are talking of freedom from death. The mastery of death. You must master death by your life. You can't master it in your death. You can't experience the invasion when you're dead. You can only experience it by your life and by mastery of death. The principles that involve death, the faith that involves death, the physiological changes that occur in death, you have to master that while you're alive. That's the kind of freedom you're talking about. So you see, the freedom that is being publicized is not really the freedom. You have to go back into the Bible. And it's in the Bible you see what the freedom actually is that they're talking about. That's psychological freedom. Freedom for life, not from life. But how are you free for life? Is by mastering death. You understand that? That's a different type of freedom.
With Lao Tzu, is it?
Lao Tzu?
Or is he free?
When you master death, it is the evidence that occurs when you die. Even when you die, the evidence is there. Proof that you have mastered it when you are alive. You must master death alive before the evidence will be validated by those who believe in you or don't believe in you. Will say that man did master his knowledge. Because what happens to his body at the end of his life will be a testimony of his belief. Now we have that evidence there all the time. They call them saints. Jesus talked of death. He raised the dead. Yet at his own death, it is not the fact that he died on the cross. It is the fact that what happened after his death, the significance of the mastery of death. Now that can be a figment of imagination because it happened 2,000 years ago. But we have evidence of people who won't live that long. Not too far off in 1952 in this country. But a handful of men passed away in this country and the body showed no signs of decay after his death. That kind of freedom we're talking about. Freedom from death. You see, there are only four ways to be born and there are four ways to die. And that is what we call the freedom. You're born not remembering your past life. You're born remembering your past life. You're born by immaculate conception or existential dissemination. You're born direct materialization like Star Trek. Now you die, you rot. You die, you don't rot. You die, you take your body, nobody finds it. Or you translate your body like Tiaris, a woman that lives in this country, automatically translated her body into life. Annalise Tiaris. She was an American woman that lived. So this is what we're talking. This kind of thing. We are not looking for magical power. We're not looking for mercy. The truly free man is a simple, normal man that lives every day with you, works with you. In fact, the gentleman recognizes it. It is so obvious that you wouldn't recognize it. You would not even know that it's true. He thinks that an ordinary individual goes through. But when the time comes for you to have your experience of his freedom, he will give it to you. He will make you have that experience. And then you know what the freedom is all about. You see, Jesus spoke of this freedom. When he said, the sheep know the shepherd. And the shepherd know the sheep. And those who know my voice or hear my voice, they follow me. That is the kind of freedom he's talking about, a freedom from death. Those individuals who knew the art of dying within their own body recognize Jesus immediately, and he recognized them immediately. That's the kind of freedom they were talking about. You see? But our churches never came out with that. You see, I grew up in the church, Catholic church, praying, but they could not answer these questions because they were always thinking of some psychological answer and not getting to the true psychological truth. And until we met or have men who have done this in our lives, we can't follow it. We can't believe it. We have to be exposed to people who have had that type of experience, that can vouch for that type of experience. Then we can trust their experience to help us to have the same experience.
But it says it's a tradition then that comes right down from Christ. If the tradition is broken someplace, then that whole knowledge is lost, isn't it?
Nothing is lost.
Unless some person uncovers it by himself, isn't it?
You see, Jesus said a long time ago, let me have John the Baptist. There is no man born of woman greater than John, who is alive and has come. Just to go on further. John the Baptist, who realized that the one in front of him was supposed to be much more worse, he said, no, you baptize him, because he realized that this man would carry the word further on to that realization, the mastery of death. But they argued back and forth. Now picture yourself two grown men arguing who is throwing the water each other's head. It don't make any sense. But then Jesus went on to say, suffer it to be so. In other words, endure it, accept it. For this is the way of righteousness. That this way of finding a spiritual person who has the ability to open a consciousness in you, that he can turn you on to mastery of death. Suffer it, endure it, find it, look for it. Go through the tribulations to find it. Go through the anxiety, the struggles to find that individual. And then you find it. That is the way of righteousness. There is no other way. That is the only true way there is to freedom. The mastery of death in the human body. Now when you find it, no matter where it comes from, no matter who's got it, then you automatically you find yourself here for that. But it will find you first. So you see, we cannot speak a spiritual teacher or a spiritual individual to give it to us. It is that individual whose cosmic awareness, whose responsibility by God to seek you out, to help you to realize it. The shepherd knows his own sheep. He don't go pick up any kind of sheep. He knows his own sheep. The realized man knows who is ready for the freedom of the soul and mastery of death in the teeming millions of life. He knows who is ready. He will give that individual, wherever he is, red, black, green, or brown, male or female, invalid or baby, he will give that individual, that soul, that spirit, as a gift. It's a gift. Let us come back to that level.
I don't want to take up all the questions. I'm sorry. However, since long, long ago, I learned to accept that I would die. I don't want not to accept that I would die. I mean, I don't think that it's rational or reasonable or honest to go around in pursuit of eternal life. Particularly, attachment sounds to me like being attached to this body. I've practiced the last 5 years not to be attached to this body, and now the idea that this body has another kind of eternity, it doesn't sound.
So,
seems corrupt.
What is corrupt? The religion was corrupt, but not it. The body is the temple of God. As above, so is below. God cannot be separated from the body. The body is God in that, in manifestation and in action. So, this is the supreme temple. Not this agoda, or this show, or a synagogue, or church. That's not the temple. This is the temple, and the only real temple there is. Now, if you desecrate it by denying it, then what have you done to yourself? By detaching yourself from God, you become an idiot. But when you respect it, and you understand it, and liberate it, then you claim your Godness in God. You claim your God self. You can't do that until you recognize it and accept it. That is your freedom. That is your choice. That's your heritage. That is your divine birthright. Now if you desecrate it and put away or kill it, or commit suicide. Now remember, Master Jesus had three trials for his physical body. One, what he would put inside of it. He could eat anything. What? Yet the first test was food. A test in which stone that he could turn by magical powers into food and eat it, just to avoid fasting. Most people live today, you know, in many parts of the world, not even a meal, to live from a diet of starvation. They'll do anything, they'll kill, just to get something in their stomach. This chapel of God is going through that type of a trial, tribulation, desecration, simply because lack of time, through ignorance, and the common law. All right, here comes the spiritual teacher to show us the freedom. The freedom is to rise above this physical body. And he tells us, by his own words, how you rise above it. Man don't live, that's male and female. We don't live by bread alone, the simplest form of matter, as a food. We don't live by that alone. Or an indirect form of energy, through the mouth. But by every word, that means every vibratory impulse from this environmental atomic field that is coming into us from the archetypal atoms that enters through the mouth of God, which is the medulla oblongata of the brain. Now, if the doctor were to stick it to the skin, you die instantly. If you stick it to the center, you're paralyzed for life. Yet at the same time, within the same perimeter, if you don't touch it, you can correct a very common disease that most doctors can't correct. It's just you. Just 0.5 more centimeters, you will kill that person. 0.5 centimeters minus from where the point of entrance in the medulla, you can cure the death meat. This is done to this. Really, death meat can be made to come from here because they go right in the same area of the medulla in the needle, but they don't touch the medulla. They measure so exact and come right up to here and make the death meat person talk to you. Now, right there is death and right there is life. But it is how you measure life and how you measure death. Alright. After Jesus tell his first trial, learning how to feed oneself from the medulla. But you have to know how to eat first. He didn't do 40 days and 40 nights just like that. He had to prepare himself a long time to do that type of marathon fasting, let alone the commendation. The second trial, or real test that the human body goes through, is to get rich. Everybody wants to stop out. Who don't want to stop out? You know anybody who wants to stop out? Everybody, as soon as the going gets rough, he wants to freak out. He wants to throw ourselves over the hill and die. That is committing suicide. That is what it is. Destroying this body that he didn't make. Alright? What's the freedom in that? Don't tempt the Lord. He didn't make the body, why can't you create the intelligence? I can't be destroyed. And if you destroy, we have to conquer it because we use our own will. When we have to conquer it, we may have to pay a penalty for it. Because we didn't have the right to destroy, we didn't have the right to make it. So we have to come to some form. You can't blame God for that. You can't blame myself for that. It's a natural law. You do something that you are irresponsible for, you have to pay for it. Your irresponsibility makes you liable. So he says, don't touch the Lord. Well, as a boy, I used to picture the Jesus standing up here, and I was told after the fireman said, I said, jump, but you jump. It's some kind of comical, but this is what your mind would tend to picture. Someone wanted to jump, an angel will hold him up. The mind knows that there are angelic forces. The mind can see angelic forces, so they are able to keep their voices. They are there, but they aren't there for our plaything, or to be challenged, or to be put in a category or position where they are forced to take care of us. They are working pretty hard to keep the universe going as it is. We aren't supposed to go through our physical library just to prove their existence, to catch us, to avoid physical complications. So the second tip, don't desecrate the body or the godness of yourself by trying to finish yourself. searching you would want now, if you don't put it to the side, if you don't stop out, and the only reason you might want to stop out is because the going gets tough. And what if the going gets tough? Because you're insecure. You don't have enough. You always want to. That's your insecurity that's causing you to stop out. So the next step, the last and most important step, would be give you the world. Provide you with everything that you can hang on to. Attachment. So, you know, it's very important that you can't carry a sense in your diary. How can you hang on to your breath in your diary? Because so, attachment to any physical thing is a ridiculous idea in the end. It is only something to use. Things are here to be used. And not to be attached to the skin ourselves. Well, we have to use them, but we have to be responsible for them. We have to take care of them. Because we are in essence a steward. We are in essence representative of the divine principle. And if we don't take care of it, we are going to be alive with it. And nobody is going to point us but our own self, even our own mistakes. To our own self, we can actually find ourselves. So the third step is provide us with objects to attract us. And so this intelligence or ego, nature of the man, ego, presents the beginning of giving the word to them. And it's just very own simple words to master that type of a problem, or the freedom is get in behind this space of influence, go away negative power, remove ego, stop bugging me, I don't need to be attached to it, nothing to be attached to it. And it came out of the mountain, there's no need for the mountain no more, there's no need for the desert. The real mountain is here, the real desert is here. Then you make the journey up to see the truth in your head and decide where you want to be. You come out and give it away. You're not in the hills of Tennessee or in the hills of Mongolia. You're living with mankind, wherever you want. You find yourself. Now, when you come out into the world, you don't try to perform miracles. Because you can just come up again. And if you want to,
if you can hurry up on the
cross. Well, this hanging up on the cross, remember this. Jesus was not hung up on the cross by his own body. Most people don't know that, and they never know that. The birth and the death of a spiritual teacher is predetermined by the karma of the disciples. The universal law. So his death and his birth is already set up by the karma of the students that he has practiced with him. So he dying on the cross is no death in the sense of his own failure. His dying on the cross is the work of the failure of his disciples who are unable to handle their own problems in their own fine cycle and fine sequence. Not having the devotion or the love for God or the capacity to speak the truth. Man goes up and down. Man fluctuates. Man makes a pledge, a great pledge. Then starts all over again or he comes out. A realized master understands all the ins and outs of our behavior. And he will take on the responsibility of sacrificing his life for that student. A mother sacrifices her life for a child. If the baby is sick, she sits up all night. She may be tired next morning, puts out, but she spends all night trying to worry about it. Realize my mistake. He realizes what the unrealized man don't realize, and he takes on that responsibility and moves in that frame of reference for that man's benefit or the world's benefit.
I didn't know I was going to get such a time in.
I'm going to pass this around. If anyone wants to be on the main list, I'll put the name in there first,
too. What's the technique? The gap. Well, the blind eyes is closed. It is an old statement. Then blind eyes. You say when thine eyes, there's when thine eyes, are stable at the center from here. The whole body, this chemical structure, this atomic structure, is full of life. It took Einstein to convince us today that energy is equal to the mass times the velocity of light here. You've got more atomic energy between your 150 pounds or 180 pounds walking around than any atomic bomb that you could hit. Now Jesus is saying it in a very fundamental way. When your eyes are single or centered, this whole body is full of light. But he goes on to tell you something about yourself which you don't realize. The light is shining in the darkness. That means that light is there. You don't make it up. You can't imagine it. You can't hallucinate about it. It's already there, shining in the darkness. And the darkness is your desire nature. Your desire nature is tends to pull you out into the environment, seeking enjoyment by getting trapped with wrong attitude. But that darkness is there. That's the darkness in you, the desire nature. And the light is shining in it already. And the darkness comprehends it not. Your desire nature cannot comprehend why light should be in your body. If you lift it on your head, you'll see light. If you get a blow on your head, you'll see light. But your own desire nature, your own mental darkness, cannot comprehend or understand why that light is here.
I thought the derivation of the word desire was the of desire, of the God.
It also means to produce two, the both. One is king, sire is king, and sire is to reproduce itself. A sire a horse. Horses must sire a nation. Yes? So you see, the same word has two meanings. It means authority or kingship, and it means reproduction. Now, it's a dualistic principle. That's why it's called the most subtle function in the human body, called a snake. That's the symbol for desire. The subtlest function of the human body, or the subtlest creature in creation, is a snake, serpent. These symbols are used to represent the word desire. Now, you have a craving to do something outward, or you have a craving to go inward. Either way. The craving to go out would be like a sinful virgin who burned up all their energy. The craving to go in is like a 10-wise virgin who trimmed their lamp. Or 5 virgins is sometimes 5. This is actually your 5 senses, outward or inward. The wise function of your 5 senses by craving is to look in. The foolish function of your 5 senses is to pick them out, constantly hanging on there. And you have the energy going out all the time in your ego. That's energy going out all the time. Now, what you're trying to get back inside here is the darkness don't understand, the desire nature doesn't understand why there's atomic energy in your body. But Master Jesus has gone one step further from Master this principle. He said, but let your light so shine before men. He didn't say before donkeys or horses or cows or rocks or trees. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see the good work and glorify the Father which is in you. Now, if you see the light that is truly within your mechanism and you become identified with it, everything around you suddenly falls into place, and you are from then on moving in a different vibratory relationship with nature. You are at the right place, at the right time, for the right experience. And the experience is neither good or bad, just the opportunity to test your love. And from then on you live what is known as the miraculous life of photosynthetic existence. Can you live such a life, photosynthetic? Ask yourself. You understand the principle of photosynthesis? Right, photosynthesis. really a photo finish.
Of course, Rick.
Your whole life is a race between birth and death, and you're making it by photo finish. So begin to live what is called photo finish. Every stress, every insecurity comes challenging you. Yet with a fine margin, you make it before it crashes in on you. You seem to be carrying what they call a luck of the Irish or something. You have lived what is called a celestial charm life. Even Jesus made it photo finish. They hung him on the cross only to walk away from the dead. That's photo finish. I'm talking of the photosynthetic principle. This is a principle, isn't it? Where everything seems very destructive, and at the critical moment when it should destroy you, you come out in a different frame of reference.
Okay. You're talking about Kriya Yoga more or less. Kriya Yoga. You made some Paramahansa Yoga now.
Paramahansa, yeah. It's pretty good for Paramahansa Yoga.
As I understand it, he draws the energy in, cuts off the tension and stuff. On your Roy Eugene Davis and pre-book, I had to pick all that out and put it together, and I was initiated to yoga and that's what you do.
Oh, you're so misinformed. The word Kriya only means scientific, and the word yoga means unit. So you see, where is the information now? The word Kriya is only means scientific. That's what the word means, scientific. And yoga means union.
Who does it now? The cause and effect approach.
It has nothing to do with that.
What is
that? God is sound. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There is no other scripture in the world that says that God is not sound. Every scripture in the world says God is sound. They don't say life. This song made life. God made life. He is not life.
Yeah, we can use for that. You correct the ancient back here and you get that old sound.
But God is sound, meaning life is sound. Life is song itself, a sonic vibration. And this sonic vibration is your physical body in a crystallized form. That is what this whole thing is all about. And you don't have to go no place to find it or do anything, you just got to listen to it. That's what I just told you, the technique. Sit down and close your eyes and listen. It's that cheap and that simple. But that's very hard to do. Learn to watch inside and deactivate your brain.
Really important to do that.
Is there a point in space that attention will be? Where are you living now? Are you living in tomorrow or yesterday? Are you living in now?
Yeah.
All right, here will attention be? Alright, so what do you want to focus on?
I'm focusing on outside right now.
What is outside and what is inside? Are you not living in the now?
My frame of reference.
So that is a semantic problem with you. It's not a biological realization of you. You have a semantic problem with your understanding of yourself. Get a biological understanding, then you see there is no now outside or now inside. Now is now. And there is no attention out there or in there. Attention is here. It's a biological experience, not a psychological experience. God is not a psychological thing. God is a biological process. Highly biological, very, very biological. So biological or physiological that we don't even recognize it. God is being it already. The substance. Pure being. It's not a psychological condition. It is a physiological experience. And it has to happen in now and in here. So it's not something. something you can just imagine and use words. You have to experience it. But it's the only way you can thoroughly convince of the experience is that you master it. Otherwise, you're not thoroughly convinced. And the journey of the experience begins from your soul and then to the top of your head. The heart of making this whole body go into a conscious rhythm of it. Daily, not once in your life, every 24 hours you must experience this phenomenon. Numbness and no sensation in the body. But most people are unconscious. This is a conscious state you're talking about, that you are conscious of it. That you have performed it. Jesus put it simple. No man take my life from me. I have the power to lay down and pick it up. That means he was consciously involved in shutting down or turning down the volume of the life impulse in those cells by his own volition. He was deactivating the brain. Pure fundamental physics. Which is metaphysics. Metaphysics only means out of the range of personal experience without the microscope or the telescope. Once you get the microscope, you can see this. Physics out of the range of your five senses, but within the range of the microscope. It's in the range of the microscope, but not within the range of your five senses. You can't look at your hand and see the bone. Yet metaphysically, which is outside of the range of physics, in the five senses, is physics because an x-ray will allow you to see the bone. That's why they call it metaphysics, beyond the sensory range of optical vision. So that is what metaphysics is. They don't mean some nebulous thing. Most of us got different contacted ideas of what the truth is. Truth is truth. It will make you free. If you look at it objectively and don't try to build around it. The x-ray machine shows you the bone, but it's in the range of physics. Yet your eyes don't see the bone. Yet the clairvoyant vision is an accelerated vision that can see the bone. It's the same vision, only in a different rate of acceleration. So all these things are classified as metaphysics. Simply meaning beyond the physical limitation of observation. But within the range of the microscope, the x-ray, and the telescope, and all the equipment that you can extend in naturalistic. That is in metaphysics. That is all physics. You might well call it paraphysics. Para means beyond it. But it's all physics, or superphysics. There is no supernatural. It's all physics. It's all your physics, too. At different degrees of speed. Of acceleration. Is that some question at
all? How much do you slow it down? Do you have to slow it down all the way to the point and all stop?
Slowing the brain down, you do it every day without having to interfere in it. Don't you fall asleep at night?
Yeah, but when I fall asleep, my mind is at such a low level and I don't know what it is. And I'm wondering what level are you...
Well, all right, when you fall asleep, do you have a dream?
Oh, yeah.
And then what is a dream?
I understand it's a lower state of consciousness.
Who said it's a lower state of consciousness?
By consciousness.
I mean, trust your mind.
Oh
man, that's a very strong semantics for describing another vibratory rate of your brain. There is no low rate of breathing, it's not a low rate. It's a vibratory rate in which your awareness is functioning.
No, I didn't say it was a lower rate. I said it's a lower state.
It's not a lower state. It's not a lower state, it's a higher state. It is a state of your consciousness that is very natural to you, and you move in it and have your being, just as much as you move and have your being in this state.
Okay, what rate? Can you tell me what rate of consciousness you need to decide?
What bigger packages out here.
You are so, and the way you're going to transcend your body, the body is already intimately locked up in the soul. To him that overcome it, I will not send forth a second time, but I will make him a pillar in the house of the Lord. Overcome what? What do we have to overcome? We have to overcome death so we don't repeat it a second time. And to overcome it, we have to master this chemical body. So that the soul nature of the chemical body takes over for the first time and transmutes into a form that there is no decomposition anymore in it, or non-corruptibility. Would be a realization now. When this body has thrown off corruption, that means decomposition, when this body is throwing it off or shedding it by biological practices of correct thinking, then this body will be in a state of non-corruptibility, which is a glory unto its creator. We are created by the creator in order to exemplify the creator. But we don't know that until we go to the body and look at it first. We've been programmed that this body is a dirty little object. We've been programmed that everything we do tends to deprive it of its true nature. But it's because of the wrong programming, we get the wrong results. But when we get to the right programming, we find the results are perfect. That man is soul. And as long as he's soul, he's got to realize it. But how will he realize it? Only by transmuting the body. in which this mechanism is designed to function with. You have to take this very simple thing that you can speak and put to bear and do all the business and transmit it. And in the transmutation, it will go back to its true nature. So you start out with thinking first, then speaking second, then action. Thought, word, deed. These are the simple rules of transforming this mechanism. What you think, what you say, and what you mechanically put into it and do it. Those three things make you alive. What you think of another person, or around your environment, of yourself, what you say of your environment, or yourself, and what you put into it, or you put into the other person, in the form of an action on communication, that you have to be conscious of. Yet those very three things will bring out the depth of this mechanism.
Until we accomplish that point, if we don't reach that level, we can do it. What one gives to be the body of the community. I'm explaining.
You want to know that it's the screaming or the dance is scary or the air is going to be put up in the air, the air out, or something down, down the river.
When you die, it's God who decides if you have been a truthful worker with his wisdom given to you. He is the one who will stamp you with USDA, not the United States Agriculture Department, the Universal Spirit ascending into divinity. He will stamp you with that divine principle himself. He has that right. He alone will give you that because you have raised yourself into that consciousness. You have done the work. It's not for you to worry what you'll do with the body. Or if they're going to create it or bear it, when you leave it, after mastering it, it is God now who will say to his own creation, you have done what I have intended to happen. Now I will seal it and mark it as a pillar, as a structure, a part of the creation. So you see, you don't have a single thing to do with it. Now remember, Jesus didn't know he was going to resurrect, let alone he didn't know he was going to reincarnate. He was forced to accept crucifixion. And he argued in his own mind, why should I? Father, remove this cup. In other words, take away divine principle, take away this type of experience. I don't have to die for people like that. Why should I die like this for them? Why should I subject my life to these people? But if he is truly a master, if he truly realizes the principle, that it's not for him to say how he should die, then he has to accept the divine law. Not my will, not my craving, not my desire, not my ego, but thy will. This cosmic law inherent in matter that must elevate itself by the right action or behavior, that law must be adhered to. That law must be satisfied. Thy will be done. So he had to surrender to death. And it didn't matter if it permitted him or buried him or what. As long as he surrendered to it. Or accepted it. When he did, it was God, the divine principle within the very mechanism that is locked up, and the potential that came out and transmuted that mechanism to prove to those who were following the truth that they would not be left down if they accepted the truth as that type of a standard or law. Now, if we want to dumb the law and try to find it less than that, we will fool ourselves. But if we accept the law as it is and don't fight it and try to go through it with the devotional attitude, then it is that divine principle that elevates us. Otherwise, we have nothing. We're just sitting on it. We can go out and kill everybody. We can go out and rob and be happy. But it's because
because these laws are there and they have been lived by other men and they challenge your true nature, which is the soul's nature, not the mind nature. The mind nature is to say, remove it, I want to cut out. The soul nature is, Lord, give me strength that I can go through it. That's all I'm asking. I don't ask you for what's going to happen. I don't ask for the reward. I don't want to know what the reward is. I don't want to just get an after. I just want to have the strength to go through it. That's the soul's way. The mind's way is to say, no, I don't want to go through it. Or tell me what I'm going to get if I go through it. That's the mind's way. The mind wants to find out what it's going to get. It wants to know if I go through it, I'm going to get something.
What does it mean, resurrection?
Mastery of life over death by transforming the physical cells into a non-decaying body by the power of the will and devotion to the divine principle of life. You must make the effort to give all your love to the Lord with all your mind, not part of your mind, all of your mind, objective, subjective, superconscious, with all of your heart. That means this pulsation of the blood to the organ pumping that decarbonizes the blood. With all of your strength, that is your breath, every inhalation must be dedicated to that divine law. And your soul, that means you are willing to go through the experience without questioning the results of the experience. Then you can have the elevation or the resurrection. That is mentally. In the scriptures. Now, a caterpillar is a worm that doesn't question the outcome of its life, but it eats its way like every other individual worm does, and one day it spins its own cocoon, that means it knows the art of how to die. And in the process of going through that, it emerges a different creature, not a rotten caterpillar. It comes out calling itself butterfly. And he can fly. That means he's got liberty now for the first time to go into the vast universe. And he's the most beautiful creature that can fly, because there is no creature designed by nature that can fly more beautiful than a butterfly. And you don't see rotten butterflies either. They either crumble to powder by the nature with which they were constructed. They don't rotten smell of the tree. This is the law of resurrection left in nature to remind us that we are, in essence, that principle, but we have to earn it by behavior, not by the divine probing or somebody pushing us, nurse meeting us. We are given the right to do this thing, to go back to the source, not to be nurse made into it. We are given this right. We can delay the time, we can speed up the time, that's all within our right. When we decide to do it, whenever we decide to go ahead and do it, it's still ours. If we prolong it or evade it, it's still ours. You know what I mean? We have that choice. We've given that. That's our choice. So evade or prolong it. But eventually we'll jump back to it. There's no way we can avoid it. We come back. Solar nutrition, in a simple statement, is the way to nourish the body by the way things grow. In the morning, you must eat three meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and supper. So in the morning you wake up, the way things grow, fruits and nuts are on the trees, they get the first rays of the sun, indirectly. Because man lives off of light, man's body is light, matter is light. The food you eat is an indirect form of light, that your saliva breaks down to form light. To give you energy, which you kill yourself if you think you have, to get from eating food. You got all the energy in the world inside of you, but you can't use it because you think wrong. And you try to get it by guzzling down a lot of food. If you kill yourself and say, oh, this vitamin will give me more energy, this one will give me more. It don't give you more energy. There are people who don't eat have energy versus people who eat that have no energy, and versus people who eat and sleep that have energy. Solar and the fish are the worst food is from the sun, light itself, and it draws the body to nourish itself by the light. Now, if you, in the middle of the day, you want to eat your lunch. So if you want to eat food, everything that goes above the ground, not on the tree now, above the ground. And if you want to eat your meat, you have time to say four-legged creatures and two-legged women. Night time, you eat everything that grows under the ground. And if you want to eat your meat, you have time to say eggs or fish. That's all there is to it. Simple, practical, but scientifically being proven every day in your lab. You can't make a mistake with it. It's too simple, too rational, and anything can go wrong. That's how simple it is. The way things go. You don't eat a potato in the morning because it goes under the ground. And you don't eat an apple at night because it goes on the tree. You don't eat a peanut in the morning because it goes under the ground. You don't eat an almond at night because it goes on a tree. The way the thing grows. Now, if the creative intelligence didn't decide the way the thing grows, he couldn't make you. He made you laugh. He made me laugh. You were the last thing he made, man. He made it the environment for man to live in. And the way he made it the environment, he started up with light, which is atomic energy. Then that light crystallized and became minerals. Then it became vegetation. Then it became cell life, animals. Then it became man. So man looks at his environment and learns that he has to eat. If he has to eat, there are two things he can do, wrong or right eating. Wrong eating will be restricted. Right eating will keep him healthy. Right eating will carry him back to where he came from, the source of his being, life. Wrong eating will give him illness, and he will go through decomposition, which is another form of life, to learn the experience of that kind of life, to start all over again.
In terms of the image that you've created of our consciousness in the body, I would like you to explain to me the story that happens in the Bible when the adulteress is brought to Christ. The Pharisees, I believe, bring the adulteress to him, and he says that he without sin cast the first stone. Would you explain that to me, please?
Do you know of anybody who is without sin? Or wrong sin?
Because I don't know if I have sin.
Sin only means missing the mark. It's an archery term for missing the mark. It's a Hebrew archery term for missing the mark. That's where it came from. Yeah, hold up a Hebrew. It's a Hebrew word for meaning missing the mark. Now, if you're hitting the mark, you're on target all the time. Therefore, you're truthful all the time. If you're missing the mark, you're deviating. You're deviating. You're a deviant. Who is the person that thinks 100% that you know of? When you can find that person, then you find a sin. If you find a person that is deviant thinking, you find a sin. Somebody who is deviating, somebody who is missing the mark, somebody who is straying away from this focus. So that's why you put yourself into that. He who is without sin, he who deviates, he who make these statements and don't live up to them. They are deviants in their own thinking. Let them cast the first stone. Let the man who, that's among them there, who made a pledge in his own thought process and failed in that thought process, if that man is so good, let him take the stone and knock on the woman. He didn't make the woman's life. He didn't make the woman's body. He didn't make his own body. So his thought, his own conscience, would be his own guide. Now, if you know from the day you born till now that you have never done anything but follow the truth that you were told to do, simply to follow the instructions, then I would say you're a truthful man. But if you hear it once, you can't say you're a truthful man. There are big times today in big companies. When everything else fails, that means everything you think you know and try, follow the instructions. You ever see that sign?
That means because instructions were put down for us to follow to prevent us from deviating. The instructions are truthful statements about a particular function. Life is a process of how to go from the cell life back to life in a non-decomposing state. And if you follow the instructions to get back into that state without deviating from it, you are following truth. That's why it's called satsang. This conversation here is satsang. The process of getting back to the source. The deviation is the mold. If you take a mold and you have liquid gold, and the mold that you want to pour the gold in comes out from the other mold that made that mold, and that other mold has a crack in it or a scratch, wouldn't the second mold have the same thing? And the third mold would have the same thing? So the same thing. After a while, what would happen to the fourth mold or fifth mold? That scratch will wear off because it's constantly rubbing itself out. You wouldn't want to repeat it. Who would want to make four or five cracked objects pouring in the structures as you can see they're all cracked and scratched? Encrypted. So it says after the fourth attempt or the fourth repetition, again, nobody wants to go beyond that. This is the common action. You start to make things and after the fourth time you give up, you want to start a new world. So when he says, I visited the sins once of his father, or the spirit of the third and fourth generation, it means that the mold, the thought processes, the shock and the pattern of the spirit during the pregnancy state, that's the mold, that's the sin, those are the deviant thinking that sets the pattern for the child and the child to be born. You can't pity the poor. How can you pity the poor gold that you're going to pour into the mold? Do you pity the gold? The gold is a little process. It's pure itself, it's essence. The mold is something that has been there for so because you want to make a form. So we can't pity the gold. We can't pity the sand that has been bought. There's no pity. Pity is only illusion. What is important is the child who comes into that mold doesn't reject the mold and bring forward its divinity to rise above the mold, then that child is a true expression of God. This is not my kingdom. This is not my mold. I go on to the Father. This means I rise above this mold. And if it were not so, I would tell you, if you can't rise above this mold, I wouldn't be wasting my time to talk to you. But because you can rise above the mold, no. Because you can rise above the mold.
No, it doesn't bother.
Then, the teacher says, I go to the spirit place with you, meaning that there is a similar level of attitude for that mold that consciousness there. If it were not so, I would tell you, I go to the spirit, meaning I'm already making a better mold for you to come to. This mold appears here is a mold that tends to produce attachment, illusion, anxiety, stress, desire. Well, we have to rise above this mold, though. We can't negate it, we can't discard it, we can't run away from it. We may not like it. We may not want to admit it to ourselves, but it gets stuck with it until we rise above it. So as soon as we rise above it, the game is over.
There's so much unhappiness from what people think is dealing with desire by suppressing their desire. You know, I mean, that hurt does not. If a person is suppressing his desire for sensations of his own body, or for the prestige of a beautiful woman, or money, or wealth, if that is what he desires, and he represses that desire, it's as much sin, as much missing the mark, right, as someone who has no other context, no other consciousness, it's just possession. And it just has to, you cannot say to a human being, right, I do not think, well, this is how you should behave. People come to how they should behave by their own mistakes. No rule but the rule that you discover by yourself.
We said there's a belief. The laws that you say there was, The law is the mistake you make. That's the law. The mistake you make. There is no rule but the mistake. You made the mistake. Your conscience is already a built-in safety factor that will correct itself because it doesn't want to make that mistake again. And that conscience will stop correcting itself. I can't correct you. I can't force you to correct yourself. You have to make your mistake, and that is the law. The law states the law is living. The law is life. And by the very law, you will correct yourself. Whenever you decide to correct it, it will correct. If you don't decide, you will have to pay the consequences. Not me, not him. You pay your own consequences. What you sow, you reap. You can't plant tomatoes and get corn. If you did it, the first time it's a miracle, but the second time it won't work because when you plant the corn, you can't get the tomato back. You may get the okra. Now we got trouble. So once you plant corn, you get corn.
The corn is the only law.
What other law there is? That's karma too. This is karma. You call it gravity. This is karma, you call it greed. Aerodynamics. The names don't change the truth.
What the Francis experience and what he's talking about is that when you get the escape of the biological transformation where everything around you is pure and clean and there is no more dirtiness in your mind that you see, you can function in the world with its dirtiness. In France, you didn't see anything dirty no more. When he started, you couldn't tell him that because he was wearing his nice polished armor and he made sure his horse was in his bed. Until he saw through the illusion of death and saw that everything was clean. Therefore, your Bible says, everything I made is clean. Even Peter made the statement when they were having a vision of food. He saw all kinds of creatures in front of him. And he said, Lord, these things are unclean. And you know what the divine presence says? Everything I made is clean. How can you call it unclean? Is a cat unclean? The concept? Or a dog? The concept is not an unclean thing. It's me who see them in their uncleanness. It's our thinking that makes it unclean. But we have to rise above that. That is why we have to go and expose ourselves to all the dirtiness to discover that. We can recognize it. We can work it out by observing it. But it's there in ourselves. We have to write about it. So Francis was pointing out that his experience was so realistic and high that it made him not come down from that state no more. In other words, it was a permanent transmutation of his physical self. It's not something that he was wishing for or hoping to happen on a hypnotic state. You know, people try to hypnotize themselves and produce a stigmata wound. As soon as the hypnotic state wear off, the wound disappears. A real stigmata wound impressed upon you by the Master Jesus, don't go no place, it's there for good till you die. That's the difference between a true stigmata wound and one trying to be induced by the mind. A lot of psychologists are trying to induce it in themselves. A lot of people try to induce the stigmata wound by praying to the idea of Jesus and it appears in their body. As soon as that state wears off, it goes away. But a general stigmata wound, when it comes into the body, don't go no place because the evidence of physics and science truly can't go. But it defies everything that physics goes. In the first place, you never see the stigmata wound in the palm of your hand either. They're general ones. They're in the wrist. That's the difference. You find more people pray and they think because they see some artist paint Jesus dying and nailed at the cross, but it takes up a fear. But when it appears in the human body, it's all there waiting for it, trying to engage Jesus. When that actually imposes itself or superimposes itself or it snaps on the body,
trapped within the rift. And it's only nice that Jesus can do that to mark a particular principle that has been violated in this world. The early popes were all disciples of Jesus, and every pope who was the guru of his disciples, Peter was the next guru after Jesus, he was impressed with the wrong before he died. And the next disciple that took over as the next guru, he was impressed, and they were all called popes or leaders until he got to Pope Irene. And there was no who would be the pope all the time, because it was the only in that one person. When that person died, when the previous person died, the next one in line will have it. And the church built itself, still became the Pope Irene. The Pope Irene was a political pope. He was put in there by the Medici, or Medici, and formed the new Vatican, which we got today. Now, he did not have this stigmata wound. What happened? Simply this. The stigmata wound came back later. At that time, there was no pope, no genuine pope from the lineage of spirituality. We had a pope from mentality. But from the lineage of spirituality, God is not marked. He picks the worst individual, the most ignorant individual, the pauper individual, in the most remote region to put the stigmata wound. Only in the Catholic tradition. You will not find that in any other Christian group outside of the Catholic tradition that will be impressed with the stigmata wound. We have a lot of Christian mystics in the Presbyterian Church or in the Baptist Church, there's a lot of them. But only in the Catholic tradition you will find the mystics that will carry those wounds impressed by Jesus himself. They are to refute the violation of guruship, the assumption of guruship taken away from the truth down to the present day and setting up a false type of a pope. I'm not condemning the pope because it went through that process. They wanted to set up a political process. They did not understand fully the purpose of tradition through handing down the right to initiate or the right to open the spiritual eye of a human being. They didn't understand that law. But it went through a deviant in action. Today, when you find the stigmatist in the true sense of the word, wherever he is, you will always find you a very unlettered person. It's Jesus' way of laughing at us. And you will find him in a very poverty-stricken area, in a very remote region of the world, but there he would be, and he would be performing the works of the Master, raising the dead, healing the sick, and doing everything. And the Holy Spirit would be upon him. Now there are a lot of people who can perform a lot of ministries, but you will never find them with the stigmata. They're all performing in the name of the Holy Spirit. Just like the disciples were in the day of Pentecost, but not all of the 12 disciples had the stigmata put for them as lineage of that truth. Now, when you find a stigmata with it on their body, you know that person has the
it is said in the scriptures, if you seek the truth, you have to cry for it. Cry, you are wise. You know how much chemistry is involved to make a pleasure? Fantastic. Not until you can cry tears for actual truth of the thought. Hear the answer out of the darkness of your soul. That's why they say the saints who go through the night of the soul are the ones who have cried the most. And when they cry, then God came to them to reveal that radiant image within themselves. A spiritual master will find ways a realizing soul will find you when you strive. You see, just to sit down and say, I want to know the truth, it's just a mental suggestion in your place. When you get down that floor and get that floor, when you try, and if it only lasts for a day or two, don't stop. But you have to try. You got to shed those tears for that truth. And don't give up. Then one day, without any effort on your part, you'll have the experience right in your room to know the truth. The radiant form of the Lord will come to you. That's His promise. And don't back up on his promises. Don't back out. He fulfills every promise, but you got to pay a price. You don't get something for nothing from him. He wants all of love from us. He wants to know deep down in our hearts, can we really love him with the fullness of our mind? Not part of the mind that thinks, oh, I love you because you're God, you can give me something and make you an important person. I love you because I got to be running out there to be in front of the public to make them think I'm important. The world that way. To really get the truth that you're looking for, that liberates you, you got to try hard. It's a very tough price to pay, but that's all the price there is. It's not a price on books. You can have all the books in the world and read about it, they don't give you God. God realized people aren't found in books. They aren't found in libraries. You know where they're found? They're found in a simple way of living things. Called school of hard knocks. There you've got to struggle through the emotional state with all the tensions and anxiety and cry out till it happens. Sometimes you may go for days without eating, not even realize you're not eating. But it'll happen. Because that's what truth is. The truth that you're seeking is brought out from your soul simply by crying to it. Now you may be led to the source of various truth. That is pacification truth. You may be led to somebody to give you some little insight into truth. That's to pacify you. But if you want all of the truth and nothing short of the truth, then cry. And when you cry, His radiant form, I use the word His radiant form, will materialize to give you the truth. Like St. Catherine, she didn't want to see anything short of God. Because for her, even Jesus was just another image of God. And she prayed and prayed and prayed and cried and cried, and finally the radiant form of God came. And she saw it, said, no, give me my beloved Jesus. With him, I can have human contact, human consolation. But she had to find out for herself if God did exist, and what God's radiant form actually is. Because it's written, no man sees God and live. Even Moses didn't see God. He had to step aside and let the shadow of God pass over him. This kind of experience you can have if you want it. Now, if you want the pacifying experience, that's why you say, don't ask for God as that type of exposure. Ask for God via His Son, who has realized it. It's the Son that reveals the Father. It's the Son who has absorbed the Father that makes the Father visible to you at a human level. So it's through those beings we pay respect, we love them, we adhere to them. Their instructions mean more to us than all the books on the subject. One living teacher telling you how to get down into yourself. And even if he tell you, just sit down and don't do nothing and listen to yourself, that means a whole lot more to the soul than actual experience because it's going to work. You know why? He is responsible for saying it. And he can't say it if he's not commissioned to say it. It is not he who speaks, it's the Father in him that speaks all the time. When he has realized the truth, when he has realized his oneness with the truth, he can tell you something for your soul that he will not be a constant for. I think you better meditate.
is required is to watch and listen. You want to watch with your eyes open, or eyes closed. But more important is to listen. Because God is the subject where the sound of the universe is your being. He's inside of you. As music. And when I use the word as music, I literally mean it. I mean it as a sound. Right inside of your body. You have attended all the Brahms and the Beethoven and the Bach, and I listened to something that superseded all just of entertaining and even greater. But inside your body. You really want to hear the music? Maybe you got their music from where they did. Bach and all these things got their ideas, they have to listen inside themselves. God is that music that they heard. It's called the Holy Comforter. In the world of vibration and distraction and desire, this divine music helps you to rise above it by listening to it. It entertains you all the time. You can be tremendous with any kind you want. Free. You don't have to pay no money to it. It's been there all the time because it's me. But you have to listen. That's the price I require. You have to learn to listen. It's above my voice, it's above the sound of the automobile, it's above the sound of the room, it's in the supersonic range, ultrasonic range. just said, unless you become a spell, you can't have to become a spell. The thing on heaven is a thing as a reservoir of joy. And if you can remember, when you were a child, some moment in your life when you were happy. Some moment when you were a child and you were happy. And your body felt very happy. As soon as you can recall it, you can enter the whole complete source of joy in you. Realize that to yourself. Your whole body will be laughing with joy. Your whole body starts feeling happy with you. Your mind will start becoming clear. Also meant, come unto me, all ye that are here and heavy laden, and I will rest you. The five senses they were, searching for truth, searching for answers, you get flouted, you get like this is turning, and we live a simple childhood experience, a very joyful, very euphoric and blissful. You'll enter that state of ecstasy. If you have an illness, you can be healed with some dignity. Whatever is bothering you can be resolved by doing that. The moment of life. When we were children, we didn't share the world on our back. When we became adults, we started sharing it. But we can reflect on the childhood experience of joy. We let go of our psychological world on our back. Nobody can give you, the world can give it to you, give it to yourself. It's given from your own internal nature of life nature, or memory nature. Your creative nature. Nobody can take it away from you either. Your personal experience, which you have access to others. It takes more than 2 muscles to make it fun. It only takes 2 muscles to make it smile. And if you can't smile, then let it take 2 toothpicks and pop all the time. The pain that it starts in the start state, God is life in us. Joy is joy in your heart. It's the nobility of your heart that is in the joy. The integrity of it. Once you have discovered that,
Maybe. We have a really crowded car with six people in it. But we'll see. How's it going?
Where did they go, do you know?
Who?
The lady who wrote out in the
world. I don't know. They're around someplace. They're probably in the world. Not yet, no.
Record your conversation.
Sure, I record everything. They even recorded the silence.
Oh, I think that was so
wonderful. It's been done already, but...
But
you did hear Yoko Ono had a record called The Sound of Snow. The Sound of Snow, what, in New York? The Sound of Snow in China, and the third one is The Sound of Snow in Japan. Silent record.
Oh.
So. The what?
My question is if you
sure.
I'm
going to get a drink. Okay,
I don't understand all this. I mean,
the fact that it was a fall and I wanted to get there.
And then there's no problem if you follow faith
in the new place. There's no reason you're going to come for what you think, what you feel. Jesus says, don't worry what you put inside your mouth, worry what you're going to think.
Worry what comes out.
Or what comes out.
We are accountable for what we say.
It's very scientific.